talking.
This is Type Radio here at TypeCon 2005. My name is Donald. We're here with Wes.
How's it going?
Yeah, good. You're a graffiti writer?
Yes, I've been into graffiti for about the last 13 years, pretty much focusing on the West Coast side of things. But, of course, like when the magazines and the internet kind of got involved with everything, there was really no more boundaries on you know, where the style kind of was founded at. Everything started mixing together. So, yeah, just pretty much has been watching all the different types of letter styles within the last 13 years kind of come about.
How'd you get involved in it? What age, for instance?
I remember I was in junior high, and I used to take a trip to the city every week with my family just to go eat. And I was in the back seat. Every once in a while, I would look around, and I noticed, the first thing I noticed in graffiti was the characters. They're like, you know, the icons. They're a lot easier for someone to interpret, to say, okay, well, I've seen that one before at this place, or that kind of thing. It was actually a Twist character. This guy named Barry McGee, and he had this character on a rooftop, and every week we would go by that same path, and I would look up and try to figure out, like, why did he do that? You know, like, who is it? Was it legal? Did the owner, like, send him up there to take, you know, to paint that? Or was it done at nighttime, you know, right, pretty much out in the open, because it was Main Street? And yeah, it shocked me. I was intrigued. I was, like, so drawn to it. I was like, what, you know, who and why, you know, was the biggest questions. So that's really got me into it. After a while, I started noticing that the letters actually were more of like the foundation of things. So I kind of got into that, and it's just an interesting culture to me. It's always evolving. There's no real rules on it. So, you know, it evolves fairly quickly.
Well, we're not going to reveal your writer's name, obviously, but was it more like the graphic part of the thing, or like the excitement of like doing it at night, like doing something illegal?
To me personally, it was more about trying to get my letters to be where the people that inspired me, like on their kind of level. It's weird because it's illegible, but at the same time, the more you see it, the more your visual vocabulary of the letter grows, you're able to decipher it fairly quickly. And you can even, in the beginning, you can kind of tell, in America at least, if like a writer was from the New York area, or if they're from like Florida, per se, or like Texas.
Could you try to explain what the difference is, how you tell them apart, like East Coast and West Coast and Florida?
Yeah, no. Totally. Well, the thing was, I'm from the West Coast, and the style of graffiti that I do actually was really innovated in New York, kind of like late 70s, early 80s. And from when I first saw graffiti...
Do you have some examples of that work?
Like, Mayor was one of the guys, and talking to him, he kind of told me he was like probably like the third generation of things. There's Cliff... there's Kel, people like Bomb 5, Zephyr, just a whole bunch of different people. But who really inspired me was the people in the West Coast, because, I mean, that was my area, and I was able to go to a wall and see their stuff. And it's totally different from a picture on a wall. It does no justice, because when you get to the wall, like, the pigments of the paint are so vibrant, you know, and there's so many different elements besides the letters themselves to kind of get attracted to when you go to the wall itself and see it. As far as style-wise, I think New York had more of like the asymmetrical word compositions. Different parts would, you know, of course, be going out a lot crazier. And when it had the transition to the West Coast, we were a lot more into the symmetrical composition of things, I think, within the letters themselves and the words as a whole. And I think that's pretty much because graffiti is not really something that you go to a class to. There's not like teachers for it, especially when you're like, you know, on the other side of America, the country. And it was pretty much passed down through like a visual culture, like all the rules, like all the kerning laws and everything, they didn't really apply to graffiti. But a lot of times out here, since we broke it down to like a science of things, all those rules did apply, but they were like, you know, very, very tight kerning on the letters.
Overlapping,
yeah. And I don't know, it was just kind of more broken down into something that was like understandable for the West Coast side. And this is just me talking personally from what I've noticed. And the thing with graffiti, there's so many different people writing, and it's not like you could take my word in stone, because, you know, it's like, that's just my opinion of things. And there's
no rules, actually.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. Which makes it a really good art form, because it evolves that way. You know, there's competition, and it's like, once a new idea pops up, you know, the style war comes into it, and yeah, it just keeps growing. Like the competition of like hip hop in general, everything, like, you know, b-boying, you know, turntablists, the MCs and the writers, it's all about the competition, you know, the machismo. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm trying to beat you, and you know, I just, you know, want to get better. And yeah, I think that's a really good element of it. Of the art
Lisa,
form.
Come on. I'm sorry, Wes.
That's okay.
Just kidding. where was it going? Over the years, like I remember an exhibit in Groningen, which is like a small town in Holland, having this major graffiti exhibit with like Futura and Dondi and Lee and Pink and all these old school guys and girl, of course. There always had seemed to be much more appreciation of graffiti in Europe than in the United States. Mm-hmm. Do you think why that is? Do you know why that is?
You know, I'm not too sure, actually. It's maybe just the more liberal mind of it all. I think the society of America is they're a little more afraid of things that are new over here. You know, we get really comfortable with our lifestyle. So when they see something different, and of course, something they probably don't understand, they reject it. And since it's done by the youth out here, you know, the older people are like, oh, you're just a kid, you know, you don't know what you're doing.
And so, calling it vandalism.
Exactly, that too. And then also the kids that do it, you know, they become very anti-society. So it's like, of course you're going to butt heads. And I don't know how it is in Europe, but, you know, there's some incredible art coming up from out of there. I think their contribution to the graffiti culture was the backgrounds, the techniques, like the characters. And actually, I was talking to this guy who was... He was like a retailer of like graph supplies, and he told me like there's all these different kinds of caps. Like out here, we have like three basic kinds of caps. We have, you know, the stock cap, which comes with the can. By caps I mean with the spray paint.
For the listeners who don't understand.
Yeah, the spray can is actually a really interesting tool that was used in the beginning. And I think because of the can, graffiti was able to move into another level. It allows you to paint really fast. You can blend your colors really well. And you're also able to get like a really crisp line and also a really fuzzy line. There are so many different things you can do with the can itself. In Europe, I know two companies that actually retail in America. It's Belton and Montana. And they both make paint for graffiti artists in mind, which is a really cool thing. And they have a lot of discontinued colors that we don't have out here. And with that in mind, also, they have different things like the air pressure that comes out of the can to allow you to paint faster or slower, get a crisper line, different things like that. And getting back to the cap idea, the retailer told me that there was something like maybe 20 different caps for the cans. I don't know if that's true or not, but
we have specialized graffiti writer stores. I mean,
really?
They're actually paint stores, but everybody knows like they're graffiti stores.
Wow, that's pretty impressive. Out here, we got to go to like the hardware shop and just kind of, you know, we always get scrutinized by the workers.
So you don't have like a fat cap? So you have to hollow out your shell
still? We do have fat caps. We have, well, personally, I like to use Rust-Oleum brand. It's American brand of paint. They carry three different lines of it. It's, you know, they have the Painter's Touch, American Accent, and the Rust-Oleum brand. They're a fairly high-pressured paint can. The paint is very thick, and they take well with the caps. We have what's called a Rusto fat cap, and also with Krylon cans, there's, you know, the New York fat cap, which is the cap you use to fill in your colors mostly. Then you have your outline cap, also known as like a tester or a phantom cap. And the reason why it's called tester is people used to steal them off those little mini tester model paint cans. And the paint, the way that came out, was a really crisp line without any overspray versus the stock cap, which is the third most common cap that comes with the can. The good thing about the stock cap is that when it shoots out, you can move a little bit farther and closer to your surface and still get that same consistent line weight. But the bad part about it was there was a lot of overspray, a lot of little fuzz around your line, so it wasn't as clean. And learning can control and keeping those lines clean is pretty much like the standard for graffiti artists out here.
Type radio.